Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks, where the next generation doesn't just inherit the conversation, they lead it, engaging the moment with curiosity, insight, and intention. This week, we're asking two powerful questions, one about duty, one about technology. Should the United States bring back the military draft for the first time in over 50 years? Would you serve if your country required it, or should that choice always remain yours? And then, artificial intelligence. It's changing how we communicate, even how we define truth. But as AI becomes more powerful, we are gaining control, or losing it. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here in the studio with me, I welcome my student producers for Gen Z Lens, and I'll have you introduce yourself. I'll start with Arnav.
Hi, everyone. My name's Arnav. I play tennis, I play the viola, and I really like computers.
Hi, my name is Simon, and I play tennis too, and I play classical guitar.
Okay. And online, we have Dia.
Hi, I'm Dia, and I go to McClay School.
Olivia.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm on my varsity dance team and weightlifting team.
And Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm a junior at McClay School.
Well, welcome to 411 Teen. We are really glad to have you join the Gen Z Lens team. The U.S. currently operates an all-volunteer military, but recruitment shortfalls and global instability have sparked renewed discussion about reinstating the draft, something that would require an act of Congress. When you hear military draft, what is your immediate reaction? Duty, fear, pride, resistance. What do you think? How do you feel? And I'll start, I'm looking at you, Simon, so I'll start with you.
Yeah, so the first feeling that I have when we're talking about draft is fear, because personally, I want to go have a career in college, and I want to go into law. And I think having to go into the military would be a major obstacle in doing this, and it's something that I don't want to do, and I would be scared to go into the military if I had to.
Okay.
For me, it would probably also be fear. More because of the reason that means that conditions have become so serious, because, you know, as it is right now, the U.S. has, as you said, an all-volunteer military, which is amazing because there are so many hardworking men and women who choose to willingly spend their life, spend a few years of their life fighting for their country. And so to me, that kind of just represents like a dangerous time, just, you know, in the world in general. Yeah.
Okay. Dia, where do you sit? How do you feel?
I think it's good that we have a volunteering military, because so that it's not also forced. And some people who, like, for example, like if people have disabilities or some type of like something that's holding them back from doing it, it gives them like an option.
Olivia, Lauren, feel free. Join the conversation.
Okay. Well, it would strike fear into me, because like Arnold said, it'd mean like that the country has gotten to a point where we're needing to force people into fighting for the country. But again, building on what Simon said earlier, is that I do want to have a career. I do want to like build up my life, and I want to do all these things. And if a war really is that dangerous, then it would strike fear into me. But it would also strike hope to like know that we're actually fighting for our country. And even if it's not the way we wanted to, at least we're like defending the country that we live in ultimately.
Yeah, and I think with that fear, one of the things that comes out with it is the resistance. Like a core fundamental, you know, idea of the United States is resistance, and especially of democracy. And so I think if, you know, people who aren't a big fan of the military draft are forced into it, they will be fearful, but I feel like they will also resist. And so, yeah.
Okay. Is a draft more fair than the volunteer system? I mean, if it's a draft, should everyone be required to serve, including women? I'm just throwing those questions out there, and I want you to think about it now. Do you think if you have a draft, it's more fair than volunteer?
Gender-wise, I mean, as a girl, I mean, I would love to, like, if I needed to join the military, then I absolutely would, if it means defending my country. But ultimately it comes down, because we've seen in past wars, like the Vietnam War or World War II. World War II is a really good example, because we had to draft over 10 million people, men and women combined, and it actually showed that, like, women had a really big impact that, mm-hmm. like, we didn't realize before, because it was only men draft earlier. So honestly, I think drafts are a little more fair, considering maybe a woman might have a little bit harder time getting into the whole military thing if it was volunteer, because of the fears and the gender inequality and stuff like that. But drafting, like in World War II, there were so many women doing such important work in that whole war that really, like, gave them a leg up. Mm-hmm. And I do think that drafting should be fair. Like, if you're gonna draft a healthy 25-year-old man, you could also draft a healthy 25-year-old woman who's just as capable.
So I agree with Olivia that if there was a draft, I think women should also be included in it. But I think that having a draft would be unfair altogether, because currently the U.S. military has enough people and personnel to fight the wars that they're fighting, and especially the necessary wars, because with, like, the war in Iran, I don't think it's a necessary war. And so if we don't have enough personnel, I think just dropping out or coming to peace negotiations, because Iran has offered a lot of peace deals. And I think the people that are in the military currently are offered salaries, and it's by choice, and it's something they enjoy doing. And if they did not enjoy doing it, then they could, like, drop out. And with a draft, this would be completely different. It would force people who wouldn't want to fight to fight. And so I don't think that would be fair.
Okay. I think I pretty much agree on what Simon said. It's the way that the U.S. military is right now. First of all, I think that there are, you know, enough people. I think the rumors and the talks about draft were just kind of for the future, just in case. I don't think that there's actually going to be a draft right now, as of right now, obviously. But currently, what the people who are serving currently do it, many of them do it because of the benefits that they receive, and or because, you know, they're proud to be a part of their country, and, you know, they're willing to make, you know, take the risk of their lives for the country or for whatever, right? And I think that with the draft, you will have more people who aren't really as serious about fighting for the country, don't really want to as much. And I think as we are right now, it's already a good system, because the last time that we needed a draft was the, like, last time that we were in a serious war. Right. So as of right now, I don't think it's required. And that's why I don't think that it should happen as of right now.
Okay. Other comments? Dia, Olivia, Lauren, where do you sit on this?
Dia and I, we agree with what they're saying. To an extent, I do believe that it should, like, just not, okay, it shouldn't be forced upon people unless the circumstance. So earlier, I didn't mean to imply that just for any war, like the war with Iran right now, like, mm-hmm. it's not serious enough. We do have enough, like, a big mm-hmm. enough military to, like, sustain in that war, even though it's not a necessary war. But mm-hmm. it's like everything, it happens for a reason. That's kind of like my motto. Everything happens for a reason. And if we do eventually come to like a World War III or something like that, and we do need a draft, then I absolutely do think, though, that it would have to be forced upon, even if it's not the best solution. It is a solution. I'm not saying as of right now it's necessary, but overall, I don't think it is the worst idea.
Yeah. To that point, I think the war in Iran isn't a war for like a benefit of America or even Iran in this instance. Mm-hmm. It's not benefiting anyone.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. When we talk about the draft, though, then what about individual choice? I mean, should individual choice outweigh national needs? I mean, I'm just thinking as we're talking, I mean, you know, if we need it and one really does not want to participate, they're opposed to it for whatever, then should we recognize that, or should we make them come anyway?
I think definitely with the way that, you know, obviously, as I remember, the Vietnam War was not a very popular war, was it? So in that, obviously, if you don't want, if the government needs this fight, they need somebody to come help defend the country. Obviously, I don't think that people who aren't willing to fight should be drafted. And obviously, that's not why everybody is drafted. Mm-hmm. Lots of people are taken into consideration, but not everybody is drafted. And it can be for different reasons. It can be physical. It can be mental. It can be, you know, just different reasons, right? And so that's kind of how the draft, I think, has always worked. And the way that they don't choose just because you've necessarily been, you know, talked to, doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be chosen.
Hold your thoughts right there. This is one of those times. You're tuned in to 411 Team. The Gen Z Lens are here today with me in the studio. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Team, and today we have Gen Z Lens team. They're students from McClay, and we are talking about the draft. Critics argue modern warfare requires highly trained specialists. Does a draft weaken or strengthen the military?
I think it depends. I mean, obviously, if a person who is well prepared or like very intelligent for a war and gets drafted, yes, they would be useful. But we do have to think back in history. If there was a passion, like in World War II, we had so many volunteers for the military in the beginning of World War II, and then we had to start drafting people. And you think back to the first revolution, the American Revolution, we just had farmers standing up and fighting, and we won. So I don't think it's a matter of skill, because people can be taught.
Okay.
But if you're in a need for people very fast and quick, then you're going to want to draft the intelligent or the prepared people first.
Okay. Let me go to somebody else.
So I think that a draft strengthens the military in some way, because obviously more manpower means more power in a military. But overall, I think it weakens a country, because you have to think about the people who are leaving their country, who were in the workforce of mm-hmm. that country, of America, leaving for a draft. It's going to weaken the America's economy and power at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Simon. I think that the individuals who will be joining the military will definitely bring like different skills and sets that will definitely be able to assist the United States military. But I do think that it could severely impact the economy, for instance, in the workforce, as we're taking out so many people who have these skills and putting them into a war. And then it also comes back to that personal choice of, like, whether or not they really want to fight the war. And are we, like, hurting the, you know, economy more by putting in people who don't want to fight the war, and we're taking them out of their jobs, and then they're not going to participate maybe as much, like, in the war and the training to, like, get better, even though they're bringing those skills.
Okay. Other comments? Well, do you think a draft would create a stronger or less motivated force? If somebody's drafted, they might be there and might not want to be there. So what would be, you know, the preference?
I think it really depends on the type of people that get drafted, because obviously you don't just get picked up by a bus and just told, mm-hmm. hey, get up here, we're going to take you to a training center, you know? That's not how it, you know, works, right? But definitely the people that, I feel like the people that, when they're choosing, because obviously they get to pick and choose the recruiters, the process of choosing should definitely, you know, look into how this person is already contributing to the American economy. If they have a strong job that is impacting their community in some way, if, you know, also they don't have much of an interest in this war, I feel like those should be considered more heavily than, because obviously we haven't had a draft since Vietnam, right? But they should be, if there was to be a draft in this day and age, I feel like those should be also considered very heavily, along with the other factors such as mental health, such as physical, just, you know, anything mm-hmm. physical, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with what Arnav said. Having non-motivated people in an army who gets drafted would not strengthen the army as much as having more motivated people mm-hmm. in the draft, yeah.
Okay. What about a mandatory national service? And when I say that, I'm thinking about it could be military or civilian. And the service could be in healthcare, it could be in education, it could be in the infrastructure. All of those could be options. How would you feel about that?
It depends on it depends on how much of an impact it makes to the American economy relative to the people that need it at home. Because after all, especially with the wars that are being fought right now, and all these talks have been coming mm-hmm. from the Iran war, which I think many people don't view as a useful war, but depending on the number of people that are, you know, overseas, and then also the number of people that are at home that also would need those services, need, you know, help to be at home. So it really depends on the needs at the time, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Other comments?
You're muted.
You are muted. Never mind.
I agree, because,
we agreed that if people need help at home, then go ahead.
I think it's easier because it gives people more opportunities to find a place where they can really benefit. If they were to serve, where they can benefit the country and services, because not everybody is always going to be fit for the military. So I think it would help overall.
Okay. Other comments? What about the draft? Could a draft bring people from different backgrounds together, or would it deepen the division? Do you think it has any purpose there?
I think that it wouldn't bring together people from many different backgrounds, because it's going to be mostly one group of people who will be selected, so fit people who are motivated and want to, like, go into the military, would go into it. And I don't think that would be a very big group mm-hmm. like different ethnicities and views and ages. So I don't think that would be a factor in this. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that it depends on the war, actually, because just from a historical perspective, I know I've mentioned it a lot of times, but the Vietnam War was largely unpopular, right? So it really depends on, you know, also not just the people that are fighting in it, but as a country as a whole, that's really important, right? Because back during the time of Vietnam, there was people out protesting in the streets saying that they did not want this war. And so it's really important that the war is, the people feel that the war is necessary. Like, especially, I think what a lot of people kind of would say, I'm not going to sum up everybody's mm-hmm. opinion of what they, but at least for me, what I'd say is that if the war is to defend the country, not to kind of go against another country, I feel like many people would consider that a necessary war. And I feel like that will actually, that would bring people together more than, you know, more than the ethnicity, the type of people that are fighting, but as a country, because I feel like as a country, that's more important what the people think of the war, not just the people fighting, you know?
You're nodding your head. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Arnav says. I think if there were to be a draft, it would have to be on a war where a lot of people agree that it's necessary and it benefits the good of our country and the good of other countries in like our alliances like NATO and all, and also other countries who are not.
Okay. Any other comments? What I hear you all saying pretty collectively, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that you really aren't in favor of a draft, but you know, it could work depending on the conditions of the war. And those of you who even aren't in favor of it wouldn't have any problem with it if conditions were spelled out and you had things very clear. You knew what you were doing and why you were doing it. I mean, am I right? Do I have is there anything you want to add to that?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
On CNN, it has an article that was posted on April 9th, and it's about an automatic, like, military draft registration takes effect in December. Mm-hmm. Has that been approved by Congress? Is that official? What's happening with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a draft. You have to register. And you have to register between
18 through 25 with the selective service.
And even if you don't register, they now can register for you, okay?
That's what I think that was for.
Yeah, that's what that...
I think a lot of people were kind of thinking that that means that there is going to be a draft. That is just like an automatic...
No, I didn't think it was going to be a draft. It just says registration takes effect.
Registration, yeah, you're right.
So that would mean that if there was a war, that people can automatically draft you if the conditions...
if it got to that point,
Which is exactly what they did in World War II. They started drafting random people. They started taking businessmen out of their offices and putting them into war. So building off of what Arnav and Simon said, it would bring people together in a sense of fighting for your country. Even if you're against being drafted, even if you're against, like, they're against your will, essentially, I mean, hopefully, at least I would find some form of hope to look forward to. Like, I am fighting for my country, even if I don't want to be here.
Okay.
Like, I still am morally doing the right thing.
All right. Well, I think that we were able to move on to another topic. If 75% of the people oppose reinstating the draft, should public opinion, you know, decide national defense policy? I'm just throwing that out there. You don't have to answer this. Artificial intelligence is no longer futuristic. It's here. From homework help to social media feeds, AI is influencing decisions, information, and opportunities. My opening question to you all is, artificial intelligence is here. Where do you already see it?
So as somebody, as I said when I introduced myself, I said I like computers. So as somebody that already is really interested in this sort of stuff, I can see it already coming through different parts of our lives. And I think, you know, a lot of people some people use it for more malicious things. I won't deny it. Mm-hmm. Some people will use it to cheat. But I feel like the way, the potential that it has to be used for helping us is, it's enormous. And so I see it, as of right now, I see it as like a tool that can be used for, depending on, you know, what you want it to, it can be used for whatever you want it to be used for. But I find it to be a tool that can help you just in general with whatever you need. I find it to be something that can assist you.
Okay.
Sorry. I think that this is a case of high risk, high reward, because if AI is used maliciously, like Arnoff said, it could be very bad because it holds a lot of power. And if there are no regulations on it and people can use it to do whatever they want, I think a lot of negative consequences could happen. But I think if it's well regulated, then people can use it for a lot of benefit. I think it brings a lot of potential and it, yeah.
Okay. I actually really agree with that, because currently there is no, at least in the US, there is no regulation on what AI is allowed to do. And for example, the company Anthropic, they're an AI company, mm-hmm. they just released, or not released, but they just finished a new model that apparently can hack into pretty much, not everything, but it can hack into a lot of stuff. And the report that they released shows that you know, companies have to start protecting themselves. They didn't even, they were going to release it to the public actually, but they had to pause it and go and tell all of the companies that we can't release this until you guys fix everything, because we don't want you guys, this could, you know, trigger tons of global, it could, you know, stop a large process of the world if that model got released and got into the bad hands. And so I think especially as of right now, there are no regulations on AI. And, you know, if AI commits a crime, you know, just by itself, automated by itself, nobody's kind of overlooking it. Because as of right now, just already what you can already do is you can have AI just do tasks for you. So if AI commits a crime without, you know, knowledge of the person who's operating it, do you blame the company? Do you blame the person? That's just different questions.
Great. I mean, that's something we're going to get into. I want to pose that question because that's a good one. Did you have any other comments? Anybody else? Comments on AI in your life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, going to McClay, I see AI almost in a lot of my classes. I have a few of my teachers that they'll use AI for like harmless, it's all harmless.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, making songs or making, you know, ideas and helping us study. But I do think that if it gets into the wrong hands, like Arnav and Simon said, that it can be detrimental to, you know, human life with like, yeah, I have like a few examples that I think I can get into later.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, if you want to share a couple of them, one of them, we...
Yeah, it's just about, like, the... If, like, it breaks in, like, crimes or, like, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know AI has been known to plagiarize authors, publishers, you know, all of these people who have their articles, their books, their poems stolen by
mm-hmm.
AI.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used without the author's consent. And so I do think that can... you know, really impact people if people's work is being stolen without the proper credits. And, you know, plagiarism is a real issue, and I think it needs to be addressed, and I don't think it's something that AI should be doing.
Okay. Comments?
Yeah, I agree with Lauren. Plagiarism is already taken very seriously in academic places,
mm-hmm.
and I think if AI starts plagiarizing or it continues to plagiarize, it can meddle the difference between a human plagiarizing and AI plagiarizing, you know, and I think it could complicate things with plagiarism, and I think it's a very serious issue.
I definitely agree. The way that AI, it goes through like the internet, it goes through old books, it goes through all different sorts of all different things, and the way that it kind of pulls them together into one, and it spits back out what it already knows. And so I think that especially with like the AI companies, their original idea wasn't that they were plagiarizing necessarily, but that they were just training their new product. And but now the, you know, effects of it have come back to bite them.
Right.
With all these publishers, authors, now like, wait, you know, my they definitely took inspiration from my work.
We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are talking about the impact of AI. We'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we have Gen Z Lens, students from McClay, in the house. So again, I welcome you. You know, today's conversation continues with high school students weighing in on, well, two major issues. You've already talked about, you know, the draft and the possible return of it. And now we're talking about the growing influence of artificial intelligence. Do you trust what you see?
No, I don't trust what I see.
I mean, you know, with all these deep fakes and all this stuff, I mean, I'm just that.
It's hard to.
How do deep fakes and AI generated content, how does that affect what you believe?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's only getting better. I mean, it used to be very noticeable, but there's definitely some improvements that make it really hard to notice, actually.
Yeah.
So what do you all do? I mean, how do you? Yeah. How do you discriminate?
I don't think there is really a way.
As of right now, it's not perfect. And that's the good thing about it, right? As of right now, though. And the problem with that is that, so, you know, I think we were all around, at least I was, around middle school, I think sixth grade, when OpenAI's ChatGPT first came out. I know, you know, not every, but, like, I think a lot of people, all the teenagers, because this is an all-teenager podcast, everybody was, you know, in middle school or high school, I think all middle school, when, you know, let's just say, I think the first major one, OpenAI's ChatGPT came out, and it's been improving at, like, a rate that's just insane. And so as of right now, you can still tell the difference, but soon will you be able to? And that's, I think, the worry for a lot of people.
This is kind of random, but my grandma, she's old and she can't tell the difference between the two. And it's really worrying because she's texting me and being like, hey, is this true? Like she saw something that we bombed Vietnam again, right? Like it was so random. And she was freaking out. She called me frantic and she was like, I can't believe this is happening again. And I was like, Grandma, that was fake. Like that was AI. And she started cussing, I'll be blunt, but she was like, screw this, like, this is not okay. And I mean, I agree with her. I mean, I feel like AI should be used to benefit people. It should not be used to create fake news. Because I'll go on my phone right now, and I think five out of the 25 videos I watch are going to be AI. Like, if I were to just go on Instagram, like I normally would, a lot of the videos are AI, and I've been fooled by it before. I'm like, oh, look at this cute dog. No, wait, that's actually AI. Like, it's getting to a point. Yeah, true story. It's getting to the point where it's frustrating, and I go, and I have to, like, triple check all the research I do for English papers now. I have to triple check everything because I never know what's real or fake if I see it on the internet, not just on, like, social media. But even like on like Google, I'm very particular because the Google Gemini, I don't know if that information is correct. So I have to go do a deep dive into the research, and it's just very frustrating, and it makes researching even harder to know what's real.
Yeah, I agree with all of this. And even I, a lot of times it's hard for me to distinguish between what's real and what's AI, you know. I can't use untrusted news sources anymore. I feel like before, like news sources that I didn't know the names of, I could like go on it and see an image and see, oh, this is real, because how could this have been like created? But now that's not true anymore. And like anything can be made of AI. Mm-hmm. Anything could be fake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, should students be allowed to use the AI tools for schoolwork? I mean, where's the line between help and cheating?
Okay. I think that we should be allowed to use AI, but it also should be to an extent, because personally, I have like a lot of experience using AI, not in ways of plagiarizing, but just in ways of using it as a tool rather than using excessively. And like, even like through like, I was introduced to it like in middle school. So like, I've like this has been going on for like a while now. And I think that we should be allowed to use it, but I feel like since AI has become like so accessible, like what, like I feel like an idea that schools could do was make it so that it's a school programmed AI platform, so that the school use, you can only use how much the school wants you to. Like it should be used to like the way it should be, like it was made for.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think with AI should be able to be accessible by students, but I think by ways where they're not just allowed to like search up all their answers to their homework and all, because it's not helping them learn. And I don't know of any AI that like when you plug in like a question, it like helps you, guides you through it. Instead, it gives you the answer and then it explains why the answer is this. But I don't think that's helpful. And I think schools need to put restrictions on the type of AI that's used and what the AI can assist students in, you know, not just giving the answers, but like helping them.
Something I definitely think isn't like as, you know, big as just, you know, outright, you know, restricting AI or anything like that. But something I think that like a small thing I think AI, or I think like companies could do is that they could, you know, detect when, for example, you're in like a standardized testing. If I take a photo of my screen with my phone, if they can detect that I'm in a standardized testing platform, which you probably shouldn't be using your phone in, I feel like they can definitely restrict that, make it more accessible to restrict. But I think that's just something small. I think that's something that I thought would be a better idea rather than just, you know, taking out entirely. I think the biggest thing are like the important tests. So I think that something just as small as that might help.
Okay.
But
yeah, I like to tune into this one.
Sure.
I think that AI shouldn't really be used in schools. I think there's definitely some benefits for the math and science maybe side of it. Mm-hmm. I think it could be useful with helping you solve, you know, math equations that you just cannot figure out how to solve, or help you understand like a science concept. But I think when it comes to like language arts and history and writing essays, I think that should all be the work of like the human mind. I don't think we should be outsourcing our minds to AI to like write our essays. I think the way we learn as humans, and you know, something is valuable, you know, we have like a very, you know, great opportunity to learn how to write, you know, essays and things like that, and all humans do. I think outsourcing that knowledge to a machine is like not something we should be doing. And so, you know, when it comes to English and history, and you know, we're learning about, you know, all these different topics, and we're writing essays on them, or doing, you know, FRQs on them, you know, that should all be our work. It shouldn't be a machine's work. Okay. So yeah.
Did you have something?
Yeah, so to add on to what Lauren and Arnav were saying, with Arnav, with standardized testing, he said to restrict access to AI on like tests and all. But I I kind of disagree with this. I think they it should be restricted for tests, but it should also be restricted for homework and practice and all of this, because how is a student supposed to learn and master a topic if they have something else do it for them, if they don't have the practice with it and all? And to add on to what Lauren said with essays and all, I think writing the essays with AI shouldn't be allowed, but even like revising them, checking for grammar errors and all, I think that should come from the human mind and not from AI. And I think in a professional setting, I think AI is okay with this, but for students, I think it takes away from their learning experience.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially for like the essays, like the grammar part. Because I know so many websites nowadays, like Grammarly, they're like, you know, use our AI model to help you find all the grammar mistakes and the spelling mistakes. But I think, you know, one of the most valued parts of teaching is the mistakes that you make and talking to, you know, other human beings about how to fix these mistakes, what to do better. And that's how, you know, we learn. And so if we just outsource that to an AI, then we're really not learning. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that there's like kind of a, it's like weird in the way that people have definitely talked about this before. I think we as a group are not the first ones to have talked about just getting rid of AI for students entirely, right? But then you also have to think about how do you go about that, right? For example, I will admit it, you know, I do use AI, but not to do, and I will use it in like math and science too. I know Simon said that we shouldn't, but also, whenever I do use it, I will say that, I mean, I'm always, like, pretty much always just using it to study. Mm-hmm. And the way that I use it to teach me stuff that I don't know, I'd say throughout chemistry this year, I mean, I think I've, you know, always just before tests, I'll have it ask me extra questions, because I won't say that, you know, just in case I don't get everything I need, just extra questions. And then also, sometimes my teachers don't give answer keys to our homework. And so because of that, if I want to check my answers, you know, what's the best way to do it, right? I mean, if it's their worksheet, how else do I check it? And so obviously it's like hard to restrict, oh, well, this guy wants to just have the homework, you know, the AI do it, the homework mm-hmm. for them. But then this guy wants the AI just, you know, help him out, just check his answers, you know, help him review the concepts if he has a test tomorrow. And I feel like that's really hard to restrict, and that's why, at least for students, there hasn't been anything done about that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I also
go ahead.
Because like adding on to like what Arnav said, because teachers can't restrict it, they should be the ones providing it for us to help us, and so we wouldn't need to use AI. If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you if AI creates art and music. Yeah, and writing, who owns it?
I don't think anyone does.
I feel actually, like that would be like, oh my gosh, that's a good question.
And the same thing would apply. Let me throw this out here too, and you can respond to it. If AI is responsible for some kind of harm, if it causes harm, then, I mean, if it's AI, then how do you hold them accountable? Do you hold them accountable? Can you really prove that they are responsible?
I mean, you'd have to have some good lawyers, but I mean, I want to be one day, so I hope so. But yeah, so that's a really good question. And so we all know that Elon Musk originally set OpenAI up as a nonprofit organization. But then it started earning money and blah, 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 and these other people involved with him, and maybe him. It's a whole thing. He got sued. It's a whole thing. But essentially, he originally wanted it to be a nonprofit. But if you are looking at AI as a nonprofit, which it's not at this point, we can rule that out. Mm-hmm. But if we are looking at it from that standpoint, then you can't blame a nonprofit for doing something wrong. I mean, you can blame them, sure, but what would be the outcome of that? Like, I mean, you can't really arrest or like sue a nonprofit organization who's trying to help people. Even if it's harming people, you can ask them to stop, but would anyone really be responsible for what happened unless it's directly a human's fault? In this case, we're looking at computers, and that's a whole other thing. And I think it eventually would trace back to that nonprofit and who made that executive decision. But a million mistakes happen with AI today. People get false information or were fooled online. So every little thing physically cannot be counted up. But if it were to be a big event that would happen, I believe it should be traced back to the person who made the executive decisions for, say, an update that caused misinformation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it should, the accountability should go back to the creators of the AI platform for not restricting the ability of AI to do something bad. And it should, first of all, like, be a fine, and then force the creator of the AI and other AIs to restrict certain things that AI can do that could be harmful to others.
Okay. Well, I think another odd part about this, just to kind of talk about it, is what about open source models? Because there are models that you can just go out there. Nobody really owns them. They're community maintained. So who do you blame in that case, right? And that's something odd. And I think that's kind of why there isn't a whole lot of restrictions on how AI is being used yet. And a lot of it, especially because, you know, I'll say it, our lawmakers aren't the youngest people ever. You know, the way that they understand it is different from the way that other people would understand it. And so that's kind of why there hasn't been much on it yet. And I feel, and I think eventually, because obviously it's never, it's a permanent thing now, but eventually I hope and I believe that there will be proper restrictions on it. But as of right now, I think that's kind of part of the reason why there isn't anything yet.
Well, one thing I wanted to throw out there, and most people don't even realize this, AI uses massive energy and water. Now, does that change, does that influence your view of it? We don't have a long time. We got about a minute.
It definitely influences my view about it because it makes me not like it even more, because I don't think the bad outweighs, I don't think the good outweighs the bad with resources and all. Mm-hmm. And I think there gets to a point where if it's using too many resources, we have to restrict the amount of resources it used and scale back the amount of AI.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Simon. You know, using just Google takes much less energy than using a ChatGPT search. And it's like, why are you deciding to, you know, use something that could give you the same answer as another thing, but uses so much more of like our energy? And then also like the water, you know, so much water every day is used by these companies. And, you know, it used to be one company and then it turned two, and now it's, you know, multiple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this water that's being, you know, used to cool the computers and stuff, it's water that's polluted and that it can't be like used again because of like the, you know, chemicals that are now in it. And so, you know, really, so you think about, is an environmental impact that like AI is causing really, you know, is AI really that needed? Or can, you know, it be whatever you want to search in ChatGPT, could also just be searched on Google?
Well, we're at timeout. We'll have to continue this question. We've looked at the question of draft, which asks, what do we do with our country? And the question of AI, what do we do with our future? Both force us to confront control. Who has it, who gives it, and who is affected by it? Thanks, you Gen Z Lens, for sharing your voices on a deep dive into big topics, whether we're talking about the responsibility of military draft or rapid rise of artificial intelligence. There's no easy answer at all. Much appreciation to my listening audience for the privilege of your time and ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team, WFSU 88.9 FM. 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at WFSU.org.